Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
I want to talk about consumerism and why it's such a huge problem and why it's kind of like the undercover reason why a lot of people, I think, are unhappy in the West. And when I say the West, I mean America, Western Europe, you know, countries that are kind of, leading the way in terms of capitalism and the new ideals out there, right? Compared to like the old guard of, you know, Soviet Russia and the East. And the interesting thing is all of us sitting here in, you know, the US, New York, and places like London and Paris, we think we're so happy, right? We're in these big cities and there's all this stuff happening and, you know, the hustle and the bustle, and it's so great. But you kind of take a step back and see it for what it is. It fucking sucks. Think about living in New York City. To live in New York City and enjoy your life, you have to be making at least $150,000 a year, right? At least. And that's if you're a single dude. And the reason I say that number is to have a decent place in Manhattan or Brooklyn or, you know, somewhere relevant, your rent is minimum $3,000. That's for like a tiny hole in the wall, $3,000 a month. Just to get into a place, you're going to pay $3,000 first month's rent, probably last month's rent. That's another $3,000. Security deposit, another $3,000, and then 2 months worth of broker's fees. So that's $6,000. So just to get into a place, you're looking at $15K of cash just to get into a place. And that's not even furniture, right? So let's say, so it's first month's, last month's security deposit, double broker's fee. So we're at $15K and then probably $5,000 to furnish it if you want it nice. So that's $20,000 just to get a fucking place in New York or San Francisco, or, you know, LA is a little cheaper, Philly's a little cheaper, but it's not a whole lot different. But let's just talk about New York. So you got $20,000 in cash, right? Who's got $20,000 in cash sitting around? Especially if you follow the American dream and, you know, you go to college and you try to get a good job after college, but most people, rack up a shitload of debt. And then they're leaving college with, who knows, 20, 30, 50,000 in debt from tuition. And then you're supposed to have 20K lying around to get into a place, right? So maybe you get a good job working in an investment bank, or, you know, you get a job at a law firm after undergrad. Now you got to go through grad school too, which is going to cost you another 50 to 100K, right? So essentially what's happening is you're going to school, you're paying for that, you're in debt, you try to get a place to live, you're paying huge amounts for that, and then the cost of living in these big cities is insane. In New York, right, so you're spending $3,000 just on your rent after the $20,000 to get into it. Then anytime you go out for dinner, you're spending at least, you know, if you're going to a restaurant, if you're not going to Chipotle, right, and if you're going out with friends and having a social life, you're easily dropping $100 a night. So let's say you do that, you know, twice a week, even there, it's $200 a week, that's $800 a month, just on like drinks with friends. But let's be honest, in New York, if you're only going out twice a week, if you're a single dude, your life sucks, right? If you're a single dude and you're trying to meet people and network and live the life, you're probably going to want to go out 3-4 nights a week, at least a happy hour. So in reality, you're probably spending $500 a week on social activities. So add that's another $2,000 a month, right? So now our monthly budget's at $3,000 for rent, well, another $2,000 for social and eating, that's $5,000. Then you have your, you know, the debt you have to pay. I don't know, call that another $500 to $1,000. Now we're at $6,000. And then you got incidental utilities, cable bills. What am I forgetting? Maybe you have all your Ubers to get around, all your taxis, right? So tack on another $1,000, your cell phone bill, clothing, you know. You're spending $7,000-$8,000 a month to live in New York City just as a single guy. So that's why I say you have to be making, you know, well over six figures to have a comfortable, fun life there if you're a single dude. And most people, if they're just out of college, you know, how are you going to make that money? You're either going to make that money because you're working at an iBank or a law firm and you're working 80 to 100 hour weeks. And then you don't have a social life, right? So you're working every single fucking night. You maybe have one night off. And what are we told? Oh, buy things that'll make us happy. So when we do get money, what do? We go out and we buy flat screen TVs. We get a nice car. We buy expensive shoes. And what happens when we buy something like this is we get a quick little rush of some sort of chemical. I don't know if it's dopamine or adrenaline or whatever. But, you know, we're fed by the media. This is consumerism, that the things that we have make us happy. It's a status symbol. Like if you drive around and you're Audi R8 in LA, you're happy because everyone's going to look at you and see that you've made it and that you're cool and you've got your sports car, right? And do these things really make you happy? I don't think they do. I think they give you a short-term rush and then that's it. I got a new car when I graduated college. It was actually a gift for my parents. I was really lucky. They bought me a dope little Infiniti G35 back in 2006, little sports car. And it was like the best gift I've ever gotten. You know, I was totally shocked and blown away. And, you know, that happiness was great for about a week. But after that, you know, it was just a car. And I get occasionally some happiness from driving it around really fast, but it's just a car. And when I look back on my memories, do I remember that car? No, I remember girls I hooked up with, awesome parties I went to, friends that I made. You remember connections. That's what you remember in life. You remember experiences that you felt something, right? When you buy shit, you feel something for a second, but that feeling doesn't last. It goes away. So what do? To get that feeling back, you buy more and you buy more and you buy more. And you end up as Tyler Durden from Fight Club before his apartment burned down. Right? You end up having all of this stuff and you become a slave to that stuff because everything you buy is an outlay of cash. And then you've got to keep it somewhere and you've got to pay rent for all that shit. And if you move, you got to put it in storage and we become a slave to our things. And we become a slave to this system of consumerism that, you know, the really wealthy individuals that run the show, they want us to buy into that, right? If we go to school, if we get a good job, if we work our fucking ass off, what do? We pay a shitload in taxes. And, you know, the powers that be benefit from that. They go right in their fucking pocket. And then we just stay in line and, you know, we're good little lemmings and we don't, you know, as long as we're focused on buying more shit, we're not worried about solving the world's problems or challenging why we do certain things or why governments are run, right? We're not challenging the status quo. We're just focused on buying and paying more taxes. Every time we buy something, we pay sales tax. You know, we're taxed on like 30 to 40% of the money we earn if we're working for a big company. It's just all a fucking scam. And at the end of the day, no one's happy. They're just lonely, disconnected with some bullshit that doesn't make them happy. They think it does, and they're addicted to this rat race. And, you know, I fell into the system pretty hard right after college. My goal was to become a professional golfer, but it wasn't quite good enough. And I ended up getting a pretty good job at like a private equity and investment iBanking firm. And my hours were show up at 9 and leave at never, according to my boss. And even though I was making like 80 to 100K my first year out of college, most of that money went away in taxes. And because I was so like, luckily I got into personal growth and started, you know, my journey and pickup and chasing after women. But I would leave the office at like 8 every night. I'd go home and I'd immediately like change and go out and get wasted. And I'd be so drunk the next morning. And all I do all night is, you know, go to and hit on girls. But I'd be so hungover, I'd like fall asleep under my desk. Luckily, I had, you know, my semi-own office. I shared it with, you know, kind of, he was kind of like my boss, but my friend who got me the job. So he let me slide. And I just hated work. It was the most miserable time of my life. I gained like 40 pounds over the course of 2.5 years. By being in the system, and it's fucking bullshit. So I'm here to tell you guys to say fuck the system. It's not going to make you happy. And find a way to, instead of working for money, right, find your passion. And you find your passion by following what excites you. If you don't know what your passion is, just do things that excite you. If it seems exciting to go to a Krav Maga class, go to a Krav Maga class. If you want to pick up, you know, a hockey stick and skates, go to play some hockey. You never know what following your excitement will get you. If you're excited to read books on psychology, then do that. If you're excited to study, you know, fly fishing, then do that. And what'll happen is you'll gain a sense of expertise in this area that you're excited about, because anything you're excited about, you're going to put your time, attention, and focus in. And pretty quickly, you can become an expert in one of those areas. And it doesn't matter what area you're in. If you become an expert, you can monetize that. And then suddenly, now you're spending time working on this thing that you love, and you're getting paid to do that. So you're no longer trading time for dollars, because you're doing what you love to do. And I believe that you will be paid the most handsomely for whatever you love to do, because you'll naturally be inclined to be the best at that. And when you do that, if you start to work for yourself, or you know, you join a group of other people and you can kind of unplug from this taxation system, you can save a lot more money. It's funny because all the tax setups are, they're all created by rich people, right? And all the loopholes are there for corporations. And the rich write the fucking rules, obviously. And therefore, they know how to get out of being taxed. So the richest people don't pay. You know, if you guys want to study this, study corporate finance and how companies are taxed. You know, guys who are really rich, they don't make any income, but their companies make a ton, and they don't, their companies find a way to write everything off. So not to get into too much of that, but there's some great books by like Robert Kiyosaki on what sort of corporations you can set up. Even if you have just a little startup business of your own, whether that's, you know, a lemonade stand or something you're really going after. And then we talk about all the different ways where you can leverage your resources and use the sharing economy. You can hack the sharing economy to lower your expenses with like Airbnb and Turo, and everything that we talk about on the Leverage podcast and in the Leverage course are ways to unplug from that stupid fucking consumerism world. Because it's just fucking awful. And every single person that I help kind of get out of that world is extremely thankful, and they'll never go back. You know, you couldn't pay me. There's no amount of money that could take me back to iBanking. If they said, I'll pay you $10 million for the next year, you give me 1 year, $10 million, I would not do it. Because you don't get to take money with you when you die. You don't get to take the cars or the houses. You don't get to take any of that shit with you. So as long as I have just a little bit more than I need to live the life that I want, I'm good, right? I mean, I always push myself to make more and to be more successful, but I'm doing something I love to do. So I'm pushing myself more to be better at this thing I love, and that will pay off. But if you're just working for the money, you're always a hamster on a wheel. You're looking for this dopamine rush of these things you can buy, whether that's a yacht or a private jet or a new pair of shoes. And that happiness is always pushed back. It's always in the future, coming one day, and it never fucking comes. Or you say, oh, I'm going to retire, and then I'll be happy, right? There's this whole thing about retirement. Well, guess what? That doesn't make you happy. That just makes you fucking bored. When you're retired, you're not doing anything. So that's a great time if you can get to that place where you're retired at like 35, and then you can spend your time doing something you love or start a business around that. That's great. But if you're just bored and then you get into another business because you have nothing else to do and it's not your passion, now you're just back on the same fucking hamster wheel. And you're just trying to make money, 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 but that money is not making you happy and is not getting you anything, right? Money buys freedom. It doesn't buy happiness. It's an access to happiness, and it's a very important one. But you'll never make a shitload of money tapped into the consumerism ideal. Right, anyone who's making money is usually sitting on a beach somewhere. Other people are running their company. They're not paying taxes, and you're working your ass off to put money in their pocket. So that's my rant on consumerism. And does anyone have any questions or comments on that?
So I totally agree with this. Like, I just realized, after working almost 15 years in corporate America, that really does not lead to happiness, as well as, you know, the whole thing about buying shit that's really useless. But it is, for a person like me, I'm in my, you know, latter 30s, and I have significant experience in my field. It is very hard for me to imagine a pathway where I could generate that much income. So what would the good strategy be? Like, would it be like, slowly start building up things like Airbnb or just jump outright into something like Turo?
Good question. I think you're attached to living in LA and paying insane prices, right? If you live in Thailand or if you live in Ukraine, the cost of living isn't $6,000 to $8,000 to $10,000 a month. It's $800 to $1,500. You could live a very nice lifestyle comparable to LA in Odessa, Ukraine, or Kiev, Ukraine, for like $1,500 a month. It's insane. Okay. So one Airbnb, right? If you have one Airbnb in LA and you're making $2,000 or $3,000 a month off it, that's paying for your life in Thailand. You could live like a king in Thailand for $800 a month, right? So you have to decide whether you're just going to leverage a few, sharing economy hacks and just move, right? You can't do that in London, LA, New York, right? You can't just have one Airbnb place and then survive in those cities. You need an income plus a few Airbnbs because it's so fucking expensive. But what are you getting by living in LA? Is your social life that much better? Right? The only way that your social life is awesome living in a big Western city is if you're really tapped in to, you know, the high net worth individuals, the celebrity party scene, the moho scene, the promoter scene, right? And you can do that. Like, you can be broke and you can tap into those scenes very easily. Young club promoters do it, right? What do? They round up a bunch of young, hot girls. They then get paid to bring those girls to the club. Because they have hot girls, they have access to these parties that are run by celebrities and guys with money. And now all of a sudden they're broke, but they're living the lifestyle of a celebrity. And that's how they've hacked the system. They've hacked the system with their social skills and with hot girls. But if your plan is to hack the system by making more money, that doesn't give you access. More money doesn't give you access unless you're making like fuck you money. And you're not going to go from, you know, making 80 to 150 a year to all of a sudden be making like 1.5 million a year where you can start having enough money to throw around and kind of play with the big boys. It just doesn't happen like that. But you can have, you know, so you either make it in a big city by leveraging the right resources, which isn't money, which is girls, or by having a startup that has an amazing product and that gets you connected with the right people and then you're partying with the right people, it gets you access, right? Because money doesn't buy you access unless you have a shitload of money. The only way you're going to be making shitloads of money is if you start a company and that company is really successful, or if you win the lottery, which is probably unlikely. But you can have an awesome life by living somewhere else and just using a couple hacks to pay for that lifestyle, right? Your other option is stay in LA, start a business on the side, something you're passionate about, and attempt to grow and improve your social skills and have access to the right people, right? Improve your access based on your social skills. And then one day transition out of the job that you don't enjoy to a job that you do enjoy, working for yourself. And then if you work for yourself, you can live anywhere. That's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. As long as you have a computer and Wi-Fi, you know, you can do the same amount of work on a beach in Thailand as you can do in a, you know, office in Central Park. The beauty about some of these awesome countries, and the reason why I mentioned Thailand and Ukraine, I've never been to Thailand, but I've heard, you know, it's a pretty fun scene and there's lots of social opportunities with really hot girls. Somewhere like Ukraine, they'll take anyone in, right? Everyone who lives in Ukraine wants to leave Ukraine, except for the guys. The guys are smart. I know a lot of guys who grew up in the U.S. You know, all those guys that I post the pictures of the yacht orgies, they all grew up in the U.S. and they came to Ukraine to visit and they never left. I would have never left fucking Ukraine last summer if it wasn't for Wiley. I would have stayed. But, you know, because of Wiley, I decided to come back and figure out a way to get Wiley there. And then, you know, I have all of you guys here, and that's why I go there every summer, right? It sucks in the winter, right? I don't want to be in Ukraine in the winter. So I come back, see my family in LA during the winter and spend some time in New York during the good times. And then the rest of the time, South America or Europe. You know, so I'm living where I want to live. But it's just so much better over there and it's so much cheaper. It's a man's world. You don't have to worry about, you know, looking at a girl funny in the elevator at your office and getting, you know, getting fired from work because of, you know, for sexual harassment or some nonsense like that, right? Now, I'm not an advocate for, you know, for being rude or what they call that, chauvinism, right? But just the feminist bullshit culture in the West is out of control. Everything you do is controlled. As a man, you're not allowed to express who you are. You're not allowed to express your sexuality, or you could end up, you know, as a sex offender or fired, right? Like you hit on the wrong girl at the office, or you look at her wrong and they can file a report and there's nothing you can do, right? You're just now, you're in the belly of the beast. That doesn't exist in Ukraine. I went to a business meeting. A guy told me to come into his office and he goes, "This is Anya. She is the world's best blowjob giver in the whole Ukraine. Maybe in this office for sure, she is the best blowjob. You want a blowjob? She gives the best," right? And she's just sitting there smiling and laughing. This is her boss telling her that to a random guy that she's never met. I mean, if that's not a sexual harassment charge in the US, I don't know what is. But you get my point. So you have to question, like, is it worth living in fucking Boston, New York, LA, San Francisco, paying $17 a drink to go out to a shitty club with a bunch of fives, and the only hot girls are mohos that are paid to be there, who don't want to talk to you, and spending a gazillion dollars on rent and buying bullshit that you don't need, and paying a gazillion dollars on taxis? Like, are you having more fun? Are you getting laid more? Do you have a better quality of life? Or are you just there because everyone else says it's good? This is the problem, is everyone thinks it's great because they're all fucking zombies who have bought into consumerism. "Yeah, man, you should see the car I got. You should see this round of financing. I just raised $10 billion for this, or I did that, and blah, 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 and look how long my dick is, and brag, suck my dick, I'll be in Ukraine, and spending $5 on, you know, a four-course meal with way hotter chicks." The consumerism stuff's out of control. Everyone's focused on the wrong thing. And it's great because those places are awesome. It's funny. I posted in the group how great Odessa was. And Igor, who's my buddy in Odessa that's going to be coaching for us, he goes, "It's terrible. Don't come here. It's fucking awful." Because there's no competition over there. He doesn't want people to come. They don't want people to know about it. That's why they don't advertise it. It's just too good. So where does that leave you, Derek?
Yeah, this is like, it sounds amazing, really. Like, just to be able to do that, it's like a dream, really.
Well, it's not hard, right? It's not easy, but it's simple. It's not hard, it's not easy, it's simple. And just because you've been doing things, whatever, for 30 or 40 years, doesn't mean it's too late to change. Joseph, who's 58, is living in Odessa now. He wishes he would have done it 30 years ago, right? I did a week-long live-in with him there in Odessa, and, you know, he's making, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to disclose his finances, but he's making not very much, but he's only spending $1,000 in Ukraine, so he's making more than enough to live like a fucking baller over there, right? It's $1,000 a month to live there, to live like a king. If you spend $2,000 in Odessa in a month, you're like, you know, a Saudi Arabian fucking prince living in the hills of LA. And you could be going out every night, you could be going on 3 dates a week and still be up. It's just stupid. You go to a bar, your drink costs $1. You can get wasted for $8. In LA, last time I went out and was sober and got wasted, it was $150 because you're paying $15 a drink. New York, it's worse. San Francisco, terrible. And the girls in the cities in the US are ugly. They're so much hotter elsewhere. But it's really not that hard to unplug and to try it. You know, you could always go back to your job as a programmer, and if it doesn't work out, you can do that. You can always go back. Nothing's stopping you. And then for guys that are living in like fucking dumps like Scottsdale, don't even get me started. What a joke. Joel, your house burned down. Why are you still there? I mean, what a great reason to leave.
I'm hoping the next one does not burn down.
Why? You should hope it does. You should hope it does burn down so you can get the fuck out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. First, I want to say something to Derek that might help a little. If you have an expertise in your programming, you can become a consultant and work from remote. We can talk about that. I can point you to some people who have done it if you'd like.
So far, it's been kind of difficult to find a decent thing remote situation. I did get one contract where I was able to make a bunch of cash working from home. So that was really, really good. But getting something full-time has been a challenge, like something 40 hours or even 30 hours, which would pay remote, would be amazing.
Well, I don't think so, actually. Here's where you're off. Why don't you follow your excitement, find out what you're really passionate about, and then program for yourself? Or, in the meantime, you could consult, maybe. But if you're programming for yourself, and almost any business needs programmers, right? I'm not a programmer, but I taught myself how to use WordPress, so I don't have to pay for a programmer. Like, the website you guys see at Inner Confidence is 100% me, and I can't write code at all, right? And maybe it sucks, but it does the job, right? For what I need it to do, it does the job, and I'm improving it. But, you know, being able to code and to program is vital for any business if you're going to have a website, and every fucking business is going to have a website these days. So, Derek, instead of thinking about how can I get full-time job that's remote, why don't you be like, how can I create my own full-time job that's remote? You know, the thing, you're so worried about getting your needs met and being comfortable and being okay, you're not doing anything exciting, right? Like, I can't look at you and be like, I don't know what he's excited about, right? I don't know what your passions are because you don't really pursue them very much. I have no idea. You never talk about them. You're probably so disconnected from them because you figure you don't have time to. That's my guess. Is that accurate?
Well, I mean, I have been kind of like stuck in this waiting almost since 2009. I have to get my permanent residency, and a condition for permanent residency for me is that I need a fucking job to do it. So it's kind of difficult to, you know, mitigate that in the sense that keep on doing side things. I'm kind of obligated, at least for the next year or possibly even two, to have a job. So, but that's, you know, I don't want to hold that as an excuse because that's perfect timing for me to start the ball rolling and, you know, generate passive income. So once I do get my permanent residency, then I can go to Ukraine and stay there for the summer.
Right. Yeah, that's another little tougher situation. But, you know, there's other ways to get your residency too. You could have a company that's making a shitload of money and they'll keep you here if you're employing a certain amount of people. You know, there's other ways to do it. The more you crush it, the better chance you have. So the waiting game isn't totally necessary, but I see the pickle you're in that sense. But there's nothing stopping you. All I'm saying is follow your excitement and, you know, don't get so caught up in this rat race. The U.S. wants to keep you stuck in the rat race. They gain nothing by people doing what I'm doing. I pay very little in, you know, contribution, and I'm not here most of the time anyways. So they can suck my dick. And it's like, right? They don't gain anything. But the people at the top that have money in their pocket, what do they want? If I'm running a company, do I want a bunch of people working from home and, like, you know, doing their own thing? No, I want people there from 9 until never making me money, which is probably the wrong attitude too. If you look at companies like Google, they give a lot of autonomy to employees, but they keep them there, right? They set up these campuses like Facebook and Google where their employees never have to leave. They basically sleep at the office, their social circle's the office, and what are they doing? They're just making them money, right? So if you ever think that someone else is going to have your best interest at hand, they're not. Their best interest is for you to make them rich. And as long as you're working for someone else, it's usually the case, right? Either working a lot of hours or you're giving them your best ideas. Who knows? anyone else want to chime in on that?
Yeah, that sounds like an amazing life plan. The only thing is, yeah, finding your excitement is the big part of that. I'm trying to think what that is for me.
I mean, maybe your excitement is to find your excitement. That can certainly be the case. Finding your passion can be your passion. And if that means you have to unplug, you know, from the Matrix and just go to fucking Eastern Europe for a few months and do that, then that's what you have to do. That's what I did last summer. I didn't really know what my passion was at that point. I just kind of, you know, I was going to run a workshop, but I had just gotten out of a relationship that was long, and I was just kind of feeling, I just had this feeling that I needed to go there and just be by myself. And I did, and that's what kind of led me to realizing that I could just live there. And why do I need to come back to the US? Why is it better here? What, you know, why am I spending all my time doing what I'm doing? So sometimes you just need to unplug and question everything, and that will lead to an answer. And that made me 10x more passionate about IC, because I was getting disillusioned, because I was just like, oh, I'm just teaching pickup, and I'm just this fucking pickup coach, and I'm sick of pickup. I don't want to teach pickup anymore. And then finally, when I was there, I realized it's not even about pickup. It's about a lifestyle and all of these way, way bigger sort of you know, things that we're talking about. And that's what leads to having amazing women in your life. Having an amazing life leads to having amazing women in your life. And that's when I was able to shift. I'm like, now I'm not teaching pickup anymore. I'm teaching, you know, I'm teaching what we're talking about, which is how to have a much better life, which I hate calling myself a life coach, and I'll never call myself a fucking life coach, because life coaches don't wear shoes and they sleep on couches and make $30 an hour. You guys get the point.
Yeah, I've certainly been thinking about that a lot. I got this whole house thing weighing me down a little bit, but and the job. But yeah, I'm sure if I was motivated enough, I could figure out solutions to both of those.
Well, I've seen your finances, sir. You could do that tomorrow. You'd be fine. Your house would take care of itself.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you're feeling the excitement, that's there, right? If you've been feeling it for a while, that's there. And that's not probably going to go away until you act on it. And there's always, you know, there's always the safety, right? It's so comfortable to not do that. And when you do that, you're just taking a risk. In reality, it's, you're not really taking a risk, right? You can always come back and get a new job. You have a skill set, right? I don't think that job that you have now is going to really change anything about your life, right? When you add a zero to your income, what happens, right? If your net worth is $10,000, then all of a sudden it goes from $100,000. What changes? Who knows?
Right. No, I agree with that.
Yeah. I heard this back in the day from Lance. He was doing a workshop, Pickup 101. He's like, okay, so when you go from, like, when you make $100,000, now in most places, and this was like 6 or 7 years ago, when 100K could get you, you know, New York, you could be comfortable in New York on 100K. So the only thing that really changes is you're now no longer stressed about money. And when you go from being a 100,000-aire to a millionaire, the only thing that changes is your residential zip code, you know, where you own a house, right? Now you have a really nice house in a great neighborhood, right? Instead of renting in the West Village, you own in the West Village. And then what changes when you go from a million to 10 million? Well, maybe now you have, you know, a vacation house in a few other cities. And then when you go from 10 million to 100 million, you got a yacht, right? So is your lifestyle really changing? Not really. It's just kind of where you live and a couple toys.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, you definitely don't need to sell me on the higher quality of life in Europe, especially Eastern Europe. I mean, pretty much always known that. I've just always never really acted on it.
Right. Those are the things that'll get you later in life, the regrets. My job is to make sure you guys are uncomfortable all the time. You're welcome. Who else wants to chime in?
The only place I've ever lived is my mom's house, and, you know, I'm just moving out in 2 weeks, so I really don't have kind of, like, much to say on that.
Yeah. There's a couple ways you could go, right? You could either take what I'm saying as the truth and just be like, yeah, I'm going to do that, right? Fuck the system. I'm gonna unplug immediately and just, like, go backpack around Europe. Or go, you know, that's basically what people in other countries do, like Israelis and Australians. You know, Israelis, they serve in the army. No matter what, you have to serve if you're a man or a woman from the age of 18 to 20 if you're a chick, and 18 to 21 if you're a guy. And then when you're done, right, so you've gone through high school, you've gone through the military, and what do? For the next year, they travel. They go to South America, they go to Europe, they usually don't go to the U.S. because it's pretty expensive, right? But they go to places where there's really cheap, places where there's hot girls, where the cost of living is less, where it's beautiful and there's amazing things to see, right? So, or they go to Asia, right? And it's just filled with Israelis. No matter where you go in the world, you will hear Hebrew. If you listen for it, you're going to hear Hebrew because it's young Israelis traveling after the military. In Australia, 10% of their national population is traveling. In the US, that percentage of people traveling, it's like less than 1%. If you Google that, don't quote me, but 10% of an entire continent isn't there. They're traveling. Because what do? They go to high school, and before they go to uni, which is college, they fucking travel, right? They have a different set of they're not so bought into the consumerist lifestyle over there. The American dream is, you know, is not the Australian dream or the Israeli dream. So it's different. European, very different too. Places, you know, like London and Paris, it's a little bit more similar to the West, but, you know, they're not taught to work 100 hours a week to buy these fancy cars and, you know, bullshit to make them happy. They travel, they figure out what they want to do, they see the world. You know, every single person, when you ask your run-of-the-mill American, you know, what would you do if you had all the money in the world? They'd all say the same thing. I'd travel. Because no one fucking travels here. They just sit in middle bumfuck America, or they sit on the coast and they work really hard, or they have kids in middle America and then raise families, and they never leave the US. And, you know, they all say, oh, I'd travel if I had money. You don't need fucking money to travel. Australians, broke Australians and Israelis do it all the time. You don't need money to travel. You just, you know, you got to be a little bit crafty about it. So, Eddie, you could do something like that, or you could, you know, work the system a little bit and see how you like that, and, you know, start your own business or get a job, right? You could go into the kind of the U.S. consumerist thing I'm telling you to avoid.
Funny thing about that is the only reason why I haven't traveled is that same exact reason where first thing that comes to mind is money and the fact that I don't have much of that.
Well, as I mentioned earlier on the call, it's you can live in Thailand or Ukraine for less than $1,000 a month. You can't live in Boston for less than $1,000 a month. You can't live in Boston for less than $4,000 a month. I'm talking about like Boston proper, not like the suburbs. So think it over, you know, just food for thought.
All right, guys. Good stuff. I'll see most of you this weekend.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.